Hi, everybody.
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. I'm going to, since we're just 1 minute over here, I think I'll go ahead and let Marion start. Marion, are you there?
I'm here.
Okay, great. I'm going to give me just a second here. I'm going to mute everybody.
Can you hear me?
Okay, I can hear you. I've muted everybody else, and yeah. I can hear you fine.
Okay.
So you can go ahead.
Okay. Well, thank you, Donna, for this invitation, and I have had the privilege of hearing all the introductions of people that were here from all over the United States, and most of you know about the Heart Center, I can see, but we will try to share with you as much as we can because we love to get to know the new people and let you know what's going on in the Heart Center. So we'll have an opportunity to share that tonight. As you know, we have contacts in many places on the planet, in the world, and if you're in an area that's isolated or you don't have like-minded friends, please contact go to our website and make contact with Donna or Donna Dregan or Carol Wells or someone else there. All the people are very helpful. And let them know what you would like, if you'd like to be on the newsletter list or on our email list, or if you don't have email, a snail mail list. We do have a HeartShare team, and our active members are Layla, Barbara, Marlene, Cindy, Donna Dregan, Dwyn, Donna Korth, Sharon, and myself, Marion. The class tonight is being made available to answer questions, find answers, to pray with you and encourage you. And at the end of the class, we will have some extra time if you can stay on and you would like to share some more things or bring up some concerns that you might have. As you may know, we are composed of people who desire to hold a balance of light upon the earth. But first, we must know God's presence and discover our reason for being. And then we can emanate light as directed by our I Am presence. The Heart Center consists of people from every imaginable religion, Catholic, Buddhist, Baptist, Unitarians, agnostics, many others. We work closely with the Ascended Masters and those beings who have fulfilled their karmic debts on Earth and now work with the angels in heaven and other cosmic beings to assist us towards our ascension. We have a new mission statement, and I'll read that to you. Within our Heart Center community, we realize personal enlightenment through our higher self and share the Ascended Masters' teachings and love wisdom throughout the Earth. So that's an updated mission statement. The procedure for our class tonight is that we are going to have a wonderful class with David Lewis, who's a teacher, author, and messenger for the Heart Center, and the Maha Chohan. We will learn more about dealing with the challenges that some of us may be going through at this time. And a question that's being asked or posed for you is, do you know that you've chosen this time to be born? Because sometimes when we're having challenges, we wonder, why am I here? Why did I come here? But this will help you to find out what is our purpose for being here at this particular time. I suggest that you have a pen and paper, and if you have a landline with a speaker, that's also very helpful, so you have more freedom with your hands. They're a few dollars more than a regular phone, but they're probably worthwhile, so you can move about. We will be keeping the callers muted to eliminate background noise, and so you are muted, and you can unmute yourself by pressing *6 if you want to share something or ask a question during class. So I remember and all of us remember to speak loudly and clearly into the phone, and when you are through speaking, press *6 again, and you will be muted. And at this time, I'd like to ask Donna Dregan if she would give the invocation.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. In the name I Am That Am, we call to the Maha Chohan, El Morya, Paul the Venetian, Hilarion, Nada, Serapis Bay, Saint Germain, to overshadow us this night that we may embody the aspects of God. Amen.
Thank you, Donna. Well, we're going to do a little breathing meditation just to get ourselves kind of grounded and centered and still inside as we may be all rushing about from our day. I will explain the breathing to you. It's a meditation is also called pranayama. It's to help us relax and align with the Holy Spirit. We call the Holy Spirit her, as the Maha Kohan has told us. So what we do to get ready for this meditation is to close our eyes and look up at the middle of, look at the inside of your eyelids, and then with your eyes closed, look up toward the place in the center of your forehead between your eyebrows. That's what we usually call the third eye chakra. So you close your eyes, and then you look up and kind of focus on the third eye chakra. If you do that, you'll probably feel some energy or light, you might. And then we'll see our breath coming in and out as brilliant light entering every cell of our body. This is very healing and very helpful. So let's just kind of think about doing those things. And here it explains that Mother Mary said that the Holy Spirit is feminine. So when I say her during the meditation, we're referring to the Holy Spirit. Okay. Then I will say this mantra, and I will say breathe in on the count of eight, and then hold it for a count of eight, and then breathe out on a count of eight, and hold it out for a count of eight. And you can do this with your eyes closed and looking up and bringing the light energy into your body. So let's begin. I'll do this maybe a couple of times so we get the hang of it. So I get the hang of it. Okay, so let's begin by breathing in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold your breath. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. Let's do it one more time. Breathe in. I breathe in my Holy Spirit. Hold. I absorb all of her merit. Breathe out. I breathe out her light to the world. Hold it out. I am seeing God's love unfurled. And then just continue to breathe normally and be relaxed and enjoy the rest of our program, which is a very nice program tonight. Okay. Some of you may have gotten a copy of the prayer to Archangel Michael. It's also in our prayer book 10.017. It has a few changes, but we can read it together. You can read it there. I won't be able to hear you, but follow along if you have a copy of this from either from your snail mail or off the internet. It may have been sent to you. In the name of Archangel Michael, I say, O God, I am here to serve with all my heart, with all my soul, with all of my being. I give you my heart, O Lord. Live in me, love through me, protect me, and all who are on this call from all distractions, from all technical problems, and allow your heart, your mind, your being to flow and sing within me, to serve all life and to their freedom in the light. May we all be filled with the love and light essential for the healing of our earth. Amen. Donna's going to play a song for us. It's O Holy Dove. It's number 93 in your song book, or you may have it on your paper. If so, you can sing along. Donna, you're going to play for us.
Coming up.
Okay.
Thank you.
Donna, for playing the song. And also I'd like to say a special thanks to our own Carol Wells, who wrote the song. It's very beautiful. And it's a devotional to the Holy Spirit, who is with us tonight. And we give thanks for her protection, her love, and her energy as we study together tonight. There's just a couple more announcements here. Let's see, there's a lot always going on at the Heart Center, and one of the best ways to find out is to go to the webpage, of course, and learn to navigate there. We have something going on this weekend in San Mateo, so your prayers and thoughts going to that would be very, very helpful and well-received. And tomorrow night we will also be having Prayers with Carol Wells, and that will be our focus, is the expo in San Mateo. On May 1st to the 4th in Livingston, Montana, and there will be St. Germain's New Alchemical Formula for Spiritual Success. It will be a seminar, and it will be simulcast to Mount Shasta, California. There are some other things going on, but I think these things can be found if you go on to the website and you go over to your songs and mantras, and there you will find all the, you'll find so many different things that I won't try to explain it all right here and mix you up maybe. Okay, and then also, if you have gotten a sheet from Donna, you will see that there are rewired numbers and invitations on there for each area. So you pick the area closest to you and dial in for some of the activities that are going on. So you will receive a list of those or ask to have them sent to you tonight. You can stay on and stay with us for some prayers afterwards. So it's been wonderful to talk with you, and God bless everyone. And I'll turn this back over to Donna Korth.
Thank you, Marion. That was great. I do want to mention that those of you who printed out your paper that has the prayer with Archangel Michael and the O Holy Dove song at the bottom, it gives you all these numbers that Marion mentioned. It says the extension is 8218. This has changed, and the extension is now 101. It's going to be much better for people that need to call in on their telephone or have a cell phone and they're traveling and they want to hear the broadcast. You'll be able to do it just by clicking on one of these or dialing one of these numbers or pressing on one of these numbers below. I think you've got about 10 numbers to choose from. You don't have to live in that city. It's just better if you can pick one of those numbers that's close to you. But then you click on extension 101. Now, if you need some help in doing this or some understanding about some of the events that Marion mentioned, call our help desk, and that number is on there also. There's two numbers, in fact, on there, 630-894-4410 or 312-253-7600. These two numbers are our help desk numbers, and the people there will be most happy to help you with any questions you have on getting on one of our broadcasts, either online or by telephone. They can help. So now we are going to go into our fantastic time tonight with the Maha Chohan. The Maha Chohan is the most interesting of figures. I have never fully understood him, and I don't know if I ever will until I'm over there on the other side and can ask him, possibly, in person. But he is the representative of the Holy Spirit. Now, I didn't, as I grew up, ever stop to think that maybe the Holy Spirit would need a representative. But apparently, this is a very important thing. The Maha Chohan means Great Lord. And the Maha Chohan is the Great Lord also of the Seven Chohans, which are like a group of seven archangels, but instead they are called Chohans, and they're very important figures in the Great White Brotherhood. Great White Brotherhood could be called Great Light Brotherhood, because the reason the word white is there is because of the pure white light that they emanate. Anyhow, the Maha Chohan, among the qualifications, I should say, for the office of the Maha Chohan in hierarchy is the attainment and adeptship on each of the seven rays, which we will be telling you about a little bit later. And these merge into this pure white light of the Holy Spirit. And with the seven Chohans, the Maha Chohan initiates our souls in preparation to receive the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And you can look those up in 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 11. The element that corresponds to the flame of the Holy Spirit is oxygen. Without that element, neither man nor elemental life could continue their service. And the consciousness of the Maha Chohan is therefore comparable to the great central sun magnet. If you wonder what that is, that's part of the great central sun that is directly behind our sun, great, great distance away, so you can't even see it. The Maha Chohan focuses this magnet upon the planet that draws to Earth the emanations from the sun that are required to sustain our very life. And assisting him in this service are legions of white fire angels who minister unto the pure white flame of the Holy Spirit of Alpha and Omega. These angels draw the essence of the sacred fire from that flame to sustain the life force throughout the four lower bodies of the planet. Also serving this Holy Comforter are pink flame angels who tend the focus of the comfort flame. And the Maha-Chohan and the Holy Spirit are called, both of them are called, the Comforter. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. The twin flames of the Holy Spirit were manifested as cloven tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was baptized, he saw this Spirit descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And the dove is the physical symbol of the twin flame action of the Holy Spirit, which may also be visualized as a V with wings. When you are in the presence of the Maha-Chohan and within the walls of his retreat, which I believe is over Sri Lanka, you can feel the rhythm of the Holy Spirit, the pulsations of the sacred fire breath of God, releasing the flow of life from the central sun into the hearts of all evolving on the planet, more so in the hearts of those of you who are light bearers, who are here tonight because you hunger for something more than what you have experienced on Earth, possibly so far. Now we're going to go to this wonderful dictation by David Lewis. It's recent, very recent here, so hang on and close your eyes and meditate for a second while I get it up. Okay.
In the power, wisdom, and love of the omnipresence of the Lord, I come. And I distribute through my heart to the hearts of every heart friend the light of God, the love of God, the virtues which are illuminative of all who God is. And within the sacred space created through the heart streams that this day flow through each of you, I comfort life. I bring hope and expectancy, joy, reverence, and those God qualities which, when incorporated within one's heart, soul, mind, and life, raise consciousness, bring peace, and an eternality of beingness into every situation, harmonizing all with the spirit of love from within.
All right. In this first part, we see in the very first thing he says, in the power, wisdom, and love, those three wonderful virtues are experienced in the threefold violet flame and blue flame and yellow flame that we have in our hearts. And one is power, that's the blue one. Wisdom is yellow, and the pink and violet flame is love. And that's a very important thing to learn about, because that started out as a very tiny, tiny 1/16th of an inch little flame burning in your heart in the secret chamber. And we're challenged as we are spending time here on Earth growing spiritually to do those things expand the power flame or the blue flame, expand the wisdom flame of yellow, and expand the pink flame of love, the pink and violet flame of love. So he starts right out with that. And then he says, I comfort life. I comfort life. And that is a very important thing because he mentions comfort in his talk today at least three times. And in John 14:26, it says, Jesus says, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." So what Jesus is saying there is whatever you have read in the Bible that I have said and you have forgotten, he will bring it to your mind. And this is the same, this goes for all of what the masters teach us that we may have forgotten. The Holy Spirit has the ability to bring these things back to our mind, to our remembrance, so we can use them and apply them. And then he says in this, he has just finished saying, I should say, that he's here to raise our consciousness. And you'll see as we go on in this heart stream how very, very important it is to have our consciousness raised and what that means.
As your Mahachohan, I come to complete the message of the seven Chohans delivered in the Twin Cities. These powerful releases, blessed ones, have been indicative of the specific action of the rainbow rays required there and throughout the earth. And likewise within you, as these lords of life have provided an impetus for the acceleration of awareness at this hour and juncture of Earth's history.
I'm going to ask Donna Dreegan if she'll come forth and tell us a little bit about the importance of the rainbow rays.
Well, first of all, as Donna, of course, said, we have to balance our threefold flame. That's of love, wisdom, and power, and outpicture the qualities of God. And the Mahachohan, as she said, has incorporated all of them. But we also have Lords of the Seven Rays. And El Morya, who is the first ray, has the aspect of the will of God, and that color is blue. And the quality is the will of God. The yellow ray is Lord Lanto, and he has embodied many times, as all of these have on their ray, and his ray is the ray of illumination, and his day is Sunday, and the quality of God is wisdom. And on the pink ray, which completes the threefold flame, is the ray of love, and that's Paul the Venetian on Monday. And he has outpictured the quality of beauty and goodness on the pink ray. And then we have on Wednesday the healing ray, the God quality of healing, Hilarion, which is the color green. And that's the ray, the God quality of truth of God. And then on Thursday we have the quality of God, the service of man to man, the service to men, to everyone, to life. And that is the Chohan of that ray is Nada, and the color is purple and gold, and that is the ray of justice, and that she has embodied. And then the white ray on Friday, the quality is purity, and that is the ray of the ascension flame in Luxor, and that is Serapis Bay. And then on Saturday, it's the ray of violet, and that, of course, is Saint Germain. He is the Chohan of that ray, and that quality of God is transmutation and forgiveness and freedom, and the ray is of freedom. And, by the way, the violet ray is the highest vibrating ray that we have, and you may call on all of these Chohans to help you, and you may also call upon them to go to the retreats at night to work with them. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. That's very good. And as she said,
yes, you can call upon any of these Chohans for help in the particular ray that you feel lacking in, and you will know as you grow where you're lacking. And if you're not sure, then ask for help from your Father, Mother, God, and from your Christ self, and from your from the Holy Spirit that we're talking with tonight, to show you where you are lacking. Okay, we're going to go on.
If you could see the interplay of light within the various cultures, manvantaras of Earth's long, long history, you would see the work of the Chohans of the rays and of those who have held the office that in this hour I am privileged to bear, through which solar consciousness has been suffused throughout the earth through the individualization of the God flame within many hearts for the edification and enlightenment of souls and for the spiritual evolution of mankind as a whole.
I'm going to ask Sharon, would you come forth and explain what the manvantaras are and what they have to do with our spiritual growth?
Sure, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, well first I think I need to define manvantara. It's a Hindu term, and it's an astronomical period of time measurement or a period of manifestation applied to various cycles. Presently, we are in the seventh manvantara. There are going to be 14. And the Manu of this manvantara is Vedas Vatu Manu. And Manu is a progenitor or our elder father, our elder brother. During manvantaras, we are granted dispensations, which are investments of light built upon achievements of previous golden age civilizations in Earth's history or even in our current civilizations today. We evolve according to our acceptance of and use of the light that is invoked daily by all on the planet.
That's great. Thank you for that. Okay, let's go on here.
Some of you have studied deeply the history of previous golden age civilizations as these chronicles have been recorded through various dispensations, including the Theosophical movement. And, dearest ones, you have found the threads of continuity that the Great White Brotherhood has modeled, displayed, and harmoniously shared with those who are invested in the coursing of light throughout the earth through their own awareness, one with God. This day I am here to bring forth a new wave pattern of solar perfection it into the deepest recesses of the souls of mankind, as well as throughout the various cultures, races, and peoples of this earth. For it is time that the Holy Spirit be known in a new way, both as the comfort flame within the heart, and that which, proceeding directly from the heart of God, allows the soul to fulfill its purpose through the eternal fire that burns there, and which, when fanned and expanded, may result in the unification of life within and without in all realms, and oneness with the Source throughout the cosmos.
I'm going to ask Barbara, if you're there, Barbara, to explain what is solar perfection and how will the Holy Spirit use it in and through us.
Solar perfection. When I meditated on this, the first thing I saw in my mind's eye was the chart of our own divine nature, often called the Buddha nature chart, or as we call it in the heart center, of our, or the chart of our divine self. And so when you look at it, it could be seen as a sun. So I think, well, that's our true identity. So our solar essence. And then also Donna called my attention to a wonderful passage in this great book called The Masters and Their Retreats that tells about all the different masters, and then describing one of the functions of the Mahachohan, it says that the consciousness of the Mahachohan is comparable to the great central sun magnet. He focuses the magnet upon the planet that draws to the earth the emanations from the sun that are required to sustain life. This is a tremendous thing as I think about it. What a job. That's a job so big I can hardly wrap my mind around it. But that's an amazing thing to me, that he's responsible for focusing the emanations from the sun to this planet that are required to sustain life. So anyway, that's my take.
Yes, that is my take too, Barbara. I would just mention to you all that there's something that happens when you look at the sun during the last few minutes that is as it is going down at night, mm-hmm. and during the first few minutes as it's coming up in the morning. You have up to 45 minutes when you can look at it. I don't like to do it more than, I mean, if it's been up for more than a half hour, I don't really like to look at it too much. But when you look at it at those right times, you get a thrill in your heart, and you can talk to it, and you can almost see the light emanate out in shooting rays into your heart and making you understand that it has heard you, and it is helping you, and it is there for you, and it is sending forth its angels, the angels from the sun and the great central sun, to help all of us who call to it. And the masters have mentioned so often this importance of knowing the sun. So I just say that to encourage you.
Mankind has forsaken God in many realms and thereby become disconnected from, unplugged from the true virtuous source of eternal energy and divine beingness. You, O soul, must model what it is and what it means to be one who is true to your reality, connected to light and the virtuous appearance of the Spirit from within. And when you raise your own awareness daily, as Saint Germain and the Chohans have admonished, there can be the new civilization, the new earth that you envision, manifest right within the auric field of your own being as an example of what a God, man, or woman is and should be. yay. A teacher, a friend, a humble one, whom others may look to for support, guidance. A ministering spirit, a graceful and gentle, a kind and loving heart friend.
I just want to mention briefly, he said that we have forsaken God in many realms, and thereby we become like a low battery. Actually, he said, become disconnected from or unplugged from the true virtuous source of eternal energy. And he says that we need to raise our awareness. Well, now, becoming disconnected from or unplugged from the true virtuous source of eternal energy is like having a low battery versus being connected to the wall by a cord, where you are completely and totally connected all the time. But when you have a low battery, all of a sudden you don't see the energy come into your computer, for instance, if you have a one that you're carrying around with you and it requires being charged. So it's very important to stay connected at all times, and we will talk about that in a few minutes. And I want you to think of the word samadhi. That's a type of deep meditation that we'll be talking about shortly.
Yes, there is suffering within this earth, and many of you have gleaned the keys to assuage the pains, the hurts, the anguish. It has been withstood by so much of life, which has turned a blind eye toward the eternal source and ignored the impulses of the spirit from within as encouragement, as inspiration that could move all into the highest reality of beingness and return them to first principles, causation, and unity. When you are invested in the light work of the ages, that the Great White Brotherhood so nobly models in their sacred work of the spirit within all cultures and peoples, then, dearest ones, your true purpose is fulfilled. Your divine plan is manifest, and you are raised in the light of your presence through love. In the process, winning your victory in all things. As a representative of the Holy Spirit, who, as you know, is a feminine aspect of the Godhead, I am here to comfort, to share the swaddling garment of my love with each one who calls to me, each one who sings of love and grace, of harmony and peace, each one who cries out to the Almighty for an answer to the dilemmas of life upon earth today, the knotty embroilments of the soul within the world order, which within this Kali Yuga has taken a downturn, and yet which may not always be so. For the impulses of the spirit are flowing, souls are awakening, enlightenment is becoming through this new wave pattern of light, the norm for many more souls upon earth.
I want to tell you just a little bit about Kali Yuga that he mentioned as what we are still experiencing. The Hindus believe that human civilization, Kali Yuga is the age of the demon, or the age of vice. And it's the last of the four stages the world goes through as part of the cycle of yugas described in the Hindu Indian scriptures. Kali Yuga is associated with the apocalyptic demon Kali, not to be confused with the goddess Kali, but the Kali of Kali Yuga means strife, discord, quarrel, or contention. And they believe that the human civilization degenerates spiritually during the Kali Yuga, which is referred to as the Dark Age, because in it people are as far away as possible from God as they can get. Now, Hinduism often symbolically represents morality or dharma, fulfilling our dharma or our responsibilities. And their symbol for that is the bull. By one of the Hindu leaders says that some of the attributes of the Kali Yuga period that we are in is following. Rulers will become unreasonable. They will levy taxes unfairly. Are you seeing that? Rulers will no longer see it as their duty to promote spirituality or to protect their subjects. In fact, they will become a danger to the world. Thirdly, people will start migrating, seeking countries where they can get food and jobs and have a better life. How much we see that happening in our country and from our country, both in and out. And at the end of Kali Yuga, when there exists no topics on the subject of God, even at the residences of so-called saints and respectable gentlemen, the Lord will rescue mankind, the light bearers, that is, or those who want to be rescued. It also says avarice and wrath will be common. Humans will openly display animosity toward each other. There will be an ignorance of fulfilling their responsibilities. People will have thoughts of murder with no justification and will see nothing wrong in that. Lust will be viewed as socially acceptable, and sexual intercourse will be seen as major entertainment in life. How much do we see that in the pornography that is blasted all over our computers? Sin will increase exponentially while virtue will fade and cease to flourish among these people. People will take vows and break them one after another. People will become addicted to intoxicating drinks and drugs. Leaders will no longer be respected, and their students will attempt to injure them. All of this we see going on today, and it was written and prophesied thousands of years, well, many, many years ago. So we'll go on here.
Therefore sing your songs of praise to the One. Enjoy the spiritual life that you are privileged to know, understand, and live in this hour. As promulgated by this dispensation of the Heart Center movement and community, love one another with your entire being, giving not into temptation in some way to criticize or pick apart others, their ways, or seeing them as less than holy and virtuous in the light. Why, dearest ones, the subtleties that at times some of our disciples engage in through their conversation, in forgetting the highest and most sublime activities that you experience during the services, your events, and Mayree University courses, is somewhat astonishing to us. and therefore assess yourself daily. Vow to improve your speech patterns, your thoughts. Watch your feelings and that which moves you in some way into actions which do harm at a very subtle frequency to souls or life. And know that heaven is watching, heaven participates with you in so many endeavors when the invocation to light is there, for the angels, the muses, the masters, the Elohim, the divine spirits, and guardian friends to be with you.
I want to stop and just mention here that there was a fantastic message that we're going to share a little bit of as we have time tonight on knowing the I am that I am and going deeper into what we call samadhi. Trying to think of a good definition of samadhi. Samadhi is really experiencing the ecstasy of Almighty God, getting to the center of yourself, of your higher self. When you are able to do that in deep meditation, you have found samadhi. And we're going to talk about that a lot more in coming classes. I want to mention that many of us have moments of that, but we have not been born into a culture that studies and promotes and encourages and teaches meditation in the way that they have in many parts of India. I might mention that we have moments and we have many angels and beings of light that are surrounding us, helping us, that get us through things, and the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, he's always there with us. But I could see that he would get a little discouraged at times, although I don't think he does. I think he's just amazed that we don't respond like he would like us to. So ask yourself, was there ever a time when you saw yourself go through a trial calmly, with clarity and self-control? Because this is what happens when you have an experience with samadhi, or sometimes even without it, when you are surrounded by the beings of light that you've called upon. When my husband Russ died very unexpectedly, I was left with a busy health food store for which he did the accounting, he figured out the taxes, he paid the bills, he did the payroll, and I just did the selling and talking to people. That was fun. Plus, I had a pile of real estate now to take care of, and I cannot tell you the amazing calmness that came over me at that time as I look back on those first days of that experience. In fact, I was so calm that when the local minister who would be performing the memorial service came by to see me, he said to me, "Well, obviously, Donna, this whole experience hasn't really affected you yet, but it will." It never did affect me the way people thought it should. Some people thought I must have had a very unhappy marriage and that I was very relieved. Nothing could be farther from the truth. When I followed the ambulance to the hospital where Russ was pronounced dead, I was met shortly thereafter by about 8 people from Russ's church, where I went with him, who came to comfort me. They were so distraught that I ended up comforting them and leading them in prayer for Russ's graduation, which was rather dumbfounding to all of them. I miss Russ a lot, but I also rejoice for him and for me. I believe we both benefited, he with a new celestial body, and me in ways that I did not welcome at first, but that caused me to grow spiritually today in ways that I would not have anticipated. Now, not long before this experience, as I was praying one day, I was strongly urged by my higher self to get Russ to divulge certain things to me about his real estate business, which I did not understand. In fact, I couldn't tell you the difference between equity and amortization at that time. The information I got him to give me on that day when he was open to talking about it saved me hours of detective work in the weeks that followed.
but we're living in an age when we require more than simply knowing what we should do from moment to moment. We're living in an age when the Masters and the Maha Chohan want us to be able to use certain spiritual abilities that are deep within us to bring this planet back to complete freedom. Now, there are many beings who have achieved this that I know of from India, particularly the one, I don't know if I can say his name, Paramahansa Yogananda. If you don't have that book, I would encourage you to get it and read it. It's a wonderful book. But let me mention this. Our planet should be like Venus, which is our planet's twin flame. The people on Venus simply draw on the ground and visualize what they want to have happen, such as having a food item immediately sprout and mature in less than a minute. We're living in an age where things should be on earth as it is in heaven. I want to just read a little part to you here from a book called The Dweller on Two Planets. This young man was sought out by a being who spoke to him and told him about his life and his experiences on Venus, and he wrote it all down. And here's what happened. He said that he got to visit Venus after he was knocked unconscious, I believe, but he ended up in Venus and he met his twin flame there. And he says here, "I was astonished to see, mounting up as fast as evening shadows lengthen, green tendrils and buds unfolding, even as the flowers of primula spring spring forth. Flowers blossomed, seed scarps formed, and the matured fruit hanging in clusters in the radiant flame of the Vita Mundi, as high as my head from the ground, there where there had been but vacant soil. And this girl, who declared herself not a grown woman, exercising such magic as this, and thinking it only ordinary. This is what I learned they all do on Venus." And he also learned that you cannot see any of the people in Venus from our planet with a telescope or any other planet, because the beings are not in matter. They're not formed in matter like we are. We are physical. There aren't physical beings on other planets that we would be looking at. He goes on and says, "Earthly man is yet only in the initial stage of his spiritual growth in a few favored cases, but this is largely due to his animality or his physicality. Most of mankind is merely animal, not fully human, except by courtesy and certain spiritual growth efforts on behalf of some of them. Yet the dawn of the glorious new era is at hand, and in its fullness of days, Christ shall come again to it and enter into the hearts of each of us his own, and it shall be the Father that shall enter and by the Messiah. Be ye then prepared for the coming of the Holy Spirit in us, for no man knoweth the day nor the hour thereof." So that's just a little section of A Dweller on Two Planets, where he tells all about what it's like on Venus. And we know that we're living in an age when things will be on heaven, on earth, as it is in heaven, just as Jesus prayed, on earth as it is in Venus, we could say, which is like heaven, in that no telescope, he says in this book, will ever reveal human life on Venus or any planet. Not that it is not there, but its forms are of the one substance. One of the Venusians even quoted from our Christian Bible to him, which says, "This may be what Jesus meant in John 17:20-25, when he said, 'I am not praying for these alone,'" talking about his disciples there, "but for all future believers everywhere. My prayer for all of them is that they will all be one with us, all of us, one heart, one mind, just as you and I are, Father, that just as you are in me, and I am in you, so all souls will be in us and the world and other worlds, and they will believe." So the Venusians were very aware of Jesus and our Bible, and that was amazing to me when I read that. And the Masters tell us that when this happens, the dark forces will have no more power, as they will not be able to do what we can do. The oil barons, of which there's five or six that really rule the world, will no longer be able to sell oil, as we won't need it. We will be able to transport ourselves, shelter ourselves, produce water, produce food instantaneously as required. So we need to be visualizing that right now, because we are overwhelmed and fearful of what we do not need to be. We're overwhelmed by all of the things that we read about online and in the news and here on the radios and on television and on our computers that are happening, that are pretty sour, pretty scary to us. But we don't need to be afraid. So I believe that many of Jesus' disciples reached that point, that center of being where our threefold flame resides, where our Father, Mother, God directs, that they were totally in tune, as the Venusians are today, as people on earth were many cycles ago when they lived several hundreds of years, as the Venusians are doing now. As I was rereading that chapter, he was introduced to somebody who was considered very young. He was only 300 years old on Venus. And when this happens, this will be the crystal golden age talked about in Revelation 21, 1 through 7. I won't take the time to read it, but I would encourage you to look up Revelation 21, 1 through 7. Okay, we'll go a little further now.
There is so much more that we could fulfill within the earth through our disciples if they would simply make the leap and awareness to accept their divine birthright, their Holy Spirit gifts, and the virtuous outpourings of light and love that may be there at any moment throughout the day. Simply by being still and knowing God as the I am within the breath, the heart, the soul, the center of being. Yes, the Chohans have spoken. Their light has gone forth, and I augment that which they have so graciously brought to earth as the gifts of the Spirit through their own words, their wisdom, and their loving ways. Follow them, blessed ones, in word and deed, in thought and in feeling, back to the center of self.
Okay, I want to share one more thing here with you. To me, there are different levels of our relationship, and the most important level is when we go into samadhi and experience this wonderful being in the center of our self with a capital S. However, in the meantime, there is a way when you can come humbly before your higher self as you're working towards the samadhi, doing Ho'oponopono, which is saying, I love you, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you, as you come forth. You can say that in different words if you wish. With perhaps one of the prayers in the white section of your prayer book, and I want to just share with you something called the Seven Agreements for Higher Self-Connection. Now, this is not the same as learning how to do the deep meditation, but it will work for you for now as you get ready for this and as you seek it. It will work for you as the masters and their angels promise to answer and to be with you constantly as you pray and as you call and sing to them. They want you to be successful in serving God and making the right decisions, and they are helping you even though you may not have yet experienced the deepest point of meditation. And here's, if you have a pencil and paper, you may want to write this down. Let's say you really would like to know what the will of God is for your life. Here are some suggestions from a woman that I met recently. Her name is Maureen St. Germain. Just happens to be her name. And she has an amazing walk with her higher self. And she says that if you would like to know the will of God and get closer and closer and closer, number one, select a time frame of at least 45 days and mark it on your calendar from start to finish. Number two, ask only yes or no questions, no open-ended questions for this practice. During this practice period, ask unimportant questions that you do not require to survive by, such as, should I take this route to work? You're asking a yes or no question here. Or should I wear this blue blouse, or should I wear this green one? Or should I do the dishes now, or should I go in the other room and clean up my mess or something like that? It's either a yes or no question. Well, and what happens is you've got to know the answer. Now, I'll tell you what I do and what works for me, but you can do anything you want. You may get a certain tingle on your right side or on your left side. For me, when I ask something like, should I go out there and work in the yard now or should I wait until later? Should I do this or do that? I just ask yes or no questions. Should I go out now? And if they say, the Holy Spirit or my higher self says no, then I don't. And I will get an answer on the right side of my face, or actually it's I can see a yes in my mind's eye, and it's on the right side if it's a yes. If it's a no, I see it on my left side. And that way I know what I should be doing, and I have called to my higher self. I have asked forgiveness. I have made myself right before him as best I can. And I know that the angels are helping me. I've called upon them all that morning, first thing when I get up. So I know that when I ask, should I do this, I'm going to get a yes or no answer. And it's going to be either on the right side or the left side. That's the way I do it. Other people will hear something on their right or their left side sometimes. And there may be something else. Maybe something happens where you get a tickle in a certain spot. But write down what you would like to have as an answer for your yes or no question. She goes on and she says, always follow through obediently, no exceptions. So if you get a no, you consider that as what you should do, not do. Do not ask life and death questions if you can avoid it during the practice, unless you can't avoid it. If you can't avoid it, then go ahead and do it. But we're considering this 45-day period or 3-week or 4-week period. If 45 days seems to be ideal, we're considering it a practice period if you have not done this before and if you're not getting yes or no answers. Do not ask predictive questions such as, will the light turn red before I get there? That is messing around, and that is tempting. Well, we'll talk about that more later, but that is not something that is helpful for you. Do not use other forms such as kinesiology, which we know is muscle testing, unless it's required for you as a healer. And then don't do it when you're separate from your work, if you are a healer and that's your business. After you have done this, she says, the masters will be working with you to develop deep meditation where you will hopefully learn about deep meditation and that it takes you powerfully into the presence of your I Am solar presence, the center of being, he calls it here several times. And you will be so enthralled and delighted, you'll want to set aside a time daily and continually to meditate and know your I Am presence above and beyond anything you have ever dreamed. And this state, as I have mentioned several times, is called Samadhi. I recommend again that you read the autobiography of a yogi by Paramahansa Yogananda. Forgive me, Yogananda, if I said that wrong, incorrectly. So I just want to really encourage you, because we're going to listen in a minute to a little bit of the I Am presence.
Feel each day the impulses that the Holy Spirit will provide you when you ask lovingly and accept graciously. Fortuitous in this ritual of acceptance, appreciation, and acknowledgement, you move higher upon your path. And as you aspire to know God from within and to accept the Spirit as the only means to your attainment of eternality, you being wed to the One, may know love as we know love and its allness, perfection, its eternal beauty. Be graceful. Go with the cosmic flow. Understand what is at stake and your part in it. And deliver your best, your highest efforts, your humble lives, your virtuous givingness in all things.
Okay, now we're going to hear just a little bit from the I Am Speaks.
I am the voice of the I Am. The I Am within all life. The I Am within you. This I Am voice you may only hear fully through stillness, within silence, in the innermost recesses of your heart. In the deepest space where God, as the I Am, exists within you. Heretofore, many of you have not fully accessed the level of the I Am through inner stillness. And therefore you remain on the periphery of being, never fully accessing the light of your presence, the Spirit of the I Am within you, the voice of the divine that stirs the cosmos in that sacred space reserved within your being for the I Am who you are. What then must you do in order to still yourself so that you may hear my voice so that you may reside within the fuller God presence of your true self. You have danced all about and around the center point of being. Through all manner of interplays of consciousness that abide outside of the center of the circle. Therefore, it is time to put all of this nonsense aside and enter into the quickening spirit, the awakening presence of the I Am, whereby you are yoked to God within the great spherical orb, cosmic egg of your individual unique identification of the I Am, who you are. The monkey mind is the greatest inhibitor, distractor, dweller on the threshold that divides you, that hides you from the I Am. And you will never reach this place of stillness. You do not master the art, the science of stillness through silence. And meditation for many of you is the key as a science of light and harmony that will bring you to the fount of the I Am. The inner man, woman of your higher being. Be still and know I am God.
I know many of you probably are overwhelmed with all of this stuff that we've been doing, and we've gone a little late, so we will stop there. But I will just mention that the only way I meditate, and I mean the only way, is to write it down as an appointment, my appointment with God, and make it just as important as going to the chiropractor and fulfilling that appointment, or going to get my hair cut, whatever it is. If you don't write it down and fulfill it in this, with the same respect that you have for the chiropractor or your doctor or whoever else you are having an appointment with, it will never happen. It just doesn't happen. Now, there, I shouldn't say never, but it's highly unlikely that you will just take a few minutes and do it. One of the benefits of doing it at a regular time is that your body becomes accustomed to it, just like when you go to bed at a certain time and you get up at a certain time. Your body prepares for it. So if, let's say, you did it every morning at 7 o'clock before you had, before you came to the broadcast or went to work, and you did it for, start with 5 minutes or less, work up to 15 minutes at least, you did it every morning at the same time, your body is ready and working with you. Your little self, your soul, and all that is involved with being you is working with you. Now, I'm not saying that you couldn't suddenly find a time where you can do it somewhere during the day,
but it is very difficult in our culture for that to happen and for us not to have a monkey mind. And I'm part of the choir, speaking to the choir here, because I certainly am no expert, and I have not had the real deep samadhi experience that I would like to more than once or twice. And you would think that when I had it and it wasn't that strong, I just had a wonderful vision of my divine presence or my higher self that was very brief and very exciting, and then I was interrupted and I didn't get back to it, and I thought, I have got to do this more. But anyway, I want to encourage you and tell you that you may feel free, all of you, to call any of us in the Heart Center for any ideas. There's a whole page on meditation on our website. I think it's under the word teachings, and it's a wonderful help too. Now I would like to ask Barbara, if you're there, Barbara, if you would close for us, if you would seal this class. And then any of you that would like to stay and give us your prayer requests, you don't have to stay for the prayer part, but I do hope that some of the HeartShare team will stay with us and pray for your requests. So you can just give us your requests if it's late for you, and we will honor them. Barbara?
Yeah. Oh, beloved Maha Chohan, thank you so much for your words of wisdom and for your inspiration, for your guidance and protection. Please place your electronic presence over each and every one of us and our loved ones and friends, over all heart friends and light bearers and light workers around the world, and seal us in your love, in your wisdom, in your strength. Help us to be your hands and feet and voices in the earth, bringing love and truth and goodness wherever we are, wherever we go. Guide us in all things, great and small. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your great love. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, everybody that came tonight. And like I say, please stay a little for a few more minutes if you would like us to pray for anything that you have a request for.